Welcome to Inside the Mind. My name is Drew Fitzgerald, here to bring you coverage of all things Charlotte 49ers. The Niners are heading into Chapel Hill this weekend to take on the UNC Tar Heels after coming off a tough loss last weekend to the James Madison Dukes. In today's episode, we'll go over what happened last weekend and how the Niners can adjust moving forward. While 8-9 starters were announced injured earlier in the week, that did not deter the home fans from arriving in full force for a primetime season opener. Armed with their golden rally towels, a practically sold-out crowd of 15,614 at Jerry Richardson Stadium prepared for a new season, cautiously optimistic of the 49ers who added 70 new players in the offseason. From the opening kickoff, the Niners appeared slightly improved. Charlotte's new quarterback Max Brown showed his talent by firing some short passes and even scampering 20 yards on the ground to transform what was a third and long, impacted by an offensive pass interference call, to a manageable fourth and three. On the Dukes' first drive, they caught the Niners off guard with a 40-yard fourth and four conversion after a flag was thrown earlier in the play, leading to Charlotte's secondary becoming distracted and sagging off. A questionable unnecessary roughness call against Stone Handy in the red zone put the ball on Charlotte's four-yard line, leaving Ryan Osborne's defense with no other option than to make a stand. And stand tall they did, stopping the Dukes on an aggressive fourth and goal call. The Niner offense entered the field with their backs against the end zone and continued to show shades of last season, which included Cartavius Norton fumbling on a halfback dive, poor offensive play calling, and a delay of game penalty on fourth down, all capped off by a disastrous three-yard punt by Michael O'Shaughnessy. The Niners defense continued to hold strong, forcing a three and out, but field position and a great kicker would allow James Madison to hit a 43-yard field goal and take the lead entering the second quarter. Charlotte's offense continued to have comically bad luck as the ball slipped out of Brown's hands on a pass, resulting in a fumble that JMU would recover. But all momentum would return for the Niners as Charlotte's Chance Williams would deliver a massive blindside strip sack on JMU's Alonza Barnett. Colin Coates would pick the ball up, and the Niner offense would trot back out onto the field. To everyone's surprise, in just six plays, the Niners marched down the field. Two pass plays from Max Brown to Sean Brown sparked some momentum, but the best was yet to come. The drive would end with a 26-yard laser from Max Brown under pressure to Isaiah Myers for a Niners touchdown, and it put the Niners out in front 7-3. The Niners would further capitalize on the momentum, as just on the third play of JMU's drive, Alonza Barnett's pass would be intercepted by Dante Balfour. The stadium was loud and the Niners were riding high, but the magic would run out fast, leaving the fans and the team with a familiar feeling. Three plays later for the Niners, Max Brown felt pressure in the pocket and threw a questionable ball that presumably was meant to sail out of bounds, but instead went right into the JMU secondary, resulting in his first interception of the night. The next Charlotte drive, it would happen again. This time, a cheesy play where the ball was tipped off the receiver's hands up into the air, falling into a JMU defensive lineman's hands. One play is all it took for JMU's Alonza Barnett to loft a 33-yard long bomb to his receiver in the end zone. The extra point would be missed, giving the Dukes the lead at halftime, 9-7. The Niners needed a strong start to the second half if they wanted any chance of hanging in this game, and they got the exact opposite. Before the clock started in the second half, Poggi embarrassingly called a timeout due to the wrong personnel being on the field. That set the tone for the rest of the second half. The Dukes would continue scoring, and the Niners' offense would sputter, punting three times and turning the ball over two times on downs. The final score, 30-7, James Madison. After the game, a perplexed and disheveled Poggi entered the press conference, confused at the team's poor execution in the second half, and even claimed that he believed Charlotte was the better team. As shared by JMU Sports News, this is an interesting contradiction to JMU's coach Bob Chesney's postgame interview with Dave Riggert, the voice of JMU Athletics, in which Chesney shared that Poggi thought JMU's final touchdown was BS for running the score up. Poggi also voiced that he felt like the team had improved, saying, and I quote, "If you sat in that stadium and watched the game and you don't think this is a significantly better team than last year, then you don't know what the hell you're talking about," end quote. Listen to it for yourself here.
No, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And we have 11 more football games, maybe 12. So, no, I was encouraged by so much of what we did today. And if you sat in that stadium and watched that game and you don't think this is a significantly better team than last year, then you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Sloppy is the best word anyone could use to describe the loss. Looking at the box score, the Niners had 6 penalties for 44 yards and 3 turnovers. But what appeared to be the biggest failure was the game management and the offensive play calling. Decisions like Charlotte's unnecessary aggressive play calling before the half, leading to an interception and a JMU touchdown, the timeout before the second half kickoff, and the decision to pass 3 times in a row on the 1-yard line exemplify poor choices by the coaching staff and not at all relate to the on-field talent. As far as an improvement from last year, according to Poggi, I guess I may not know what the hell I'm talking about. I guess it's worth noting that the Niners had the most pass yards, 193, in a game since November 4th, 2023 against Tulsa. But still, the poor offensive play call from last year looks completely unchanged, and the team looks undisciplined, suffering from drive-ending penalties, just like last year. It's no denying that Mike Miller is on the hot seat and needs to get his ducks in a row before the season becomes unsalvageable. Poggi did mention in this week's presser that former Panthers interim coach and defensive coordinator of the 49ers, Steve Wilks, has been helping Mike Miller with the offensive play call. Here are his comments on that situation.
I think this is probably his last hurrah in college football. But he's off this year. He's local. He wants to help us. But he's still, you know, he's traveling around and talking to other people, teams and whatnot, and watching, and got a lot of friends in the league. He's been just a wonderful resource. Really helped us all. Me, Oz. Right now, I have assigned him to help with the Mike and the offense, because even though he's a defensive guy, you know, you nobody knows offense really like a defensive guy. So he is going to be mentoring there. And he's been very, very valuable. I mean, plus just so pleasant around the building. Which you would expect, right?
Entering into the game against Carolina, the Niners need to heavily rely on their rushing defense. With UNC starting quarterback Max Johnson out for the season with an injury, the Tar Heels will most likely feed the ball to their star running back, Amarian Hampton, who had 129 yards on 30 carries last week in their 19-17 win against Minnesota. I suspect that UNC won't just rely on Hampton, but put some faith in their backup sophomore quarterback Connor Harrell to sling some deep shots down the field. Tinged by injury, Charlotte's secondary gave up 2 deep balls for touchdowns and over 219 yards through the air against JMU. They need to tighten up this week if the offense continues to struggle with production. Poggi is still being secretive with which players are injured. He did reveal that one defensive lineman would be returning with limited playing time, and an offensive lineman would be returning with limited playing time. The Niners would lose another offensive lineman in the James Madison game, so on the offensive line, they're about back where they started. This game will be a reunion of sorts for members of the Charlotte football team. Justin Olsen, Jaquarius Conley, Dante Balfour, Tim Brewster, Dre Bly, just to name a few, were all members of UNC at one point or another as players and coaches. At this week's press conference, wide receiver Justin Olsen made it a point to say that there was no animosity whatsoever in returning to Chapel Hill. He's just excited to see where his journey started. If you're looking to watch or listen to the Niners, kickoff will take place at 3:30 p.m. inside Keenan Memorial Stadium. You can watch on ACC Network, ESPN+, or you can listen on ESPN Charlotte 7:30 the game. For those interested in uniforms like me, Charlotte will be donning their icy whites, including their white helmets, white tops, and white pants. UNC will be wearing their Carolina blue helmet, Carolina blue jerseys, and white pants. For those interested in former Charlotte wide receiver Grant Dubose's NFL journey, the Miami Dolphins have listed wide receiver Malik Washington out with a quad injury, meaning Dubose is the next man up and should be getting some snaps this Sunday against the Jaguars. Exciting stuff for this program. Thanks for listening to our episode today. I'll be in Chapel Hill this weekend. Remember, Niners wear green on Wednesday, and they also listen to the Inside the Mind podcast. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening to Inside the Mind. Hit that follow button to stay updated on all things Charlotte. You can also find me on X at Inside the Mind Podcast and Instagram at Drew_Fitzgerald. As always, picks up and roll Niners.